We're going to get him after here at 8 o'clock. I'll get him before we go. He's going to sit up here and make sure I get it. You're going to make sure I get it, huh? Well, I'm going to preach first. So I'm going to preach first. Yep, we're going to get it. We're going to get it before we leave. I'll be done right at 8. And we'll get up here and we'll get up our missions letters before we go, all right? Before we take an offering. All right, so find 2 Peter in chapter 1. Everybody shouldn't need one of those copies of that book. If you took it home and left it there, shame on you. I told you, make sure you hold on to those. Probably up in the balcony. I know, make sure we got one of those. But want to make sure that we have those. What we're doing is we're just looking at, and we're going to have each on Wednesday night, we're going to go through some book work, and then we're going to look at some passages of Scripture just that I find helpful when I'm trying to witness to somebody, when I'm trying to bring somebody to a knowledge of the gospel. And so we're going to try to get some tools and some things that we can use to be able to be a witness and to be able to be a testimony to those who are around us. And so just by way of introduction there, we didn't really even get into that book. I got studying and thinking and just wrote down my own notes. But just by way of introduction, it's important that we would know that being a soul winner, leading someone to Christ, is a spiritual exercise. It's not an exercise in an intellectual exercise. It's not you proving that you're a great conversationalist. It's about the Spirit of God being able to work through you to minister to someone else. It's important that we would remember this. It's somebody thinks, man, I've done something great. I've led some to the Lord. Yeah, you've been able to talk a child into something. Come on, I mean, that's really where you're at when you've been able to lead someone to Christ. The kingdom of God, unless you become as a little child, you shall not receive the kingdom of God. It's very simple, and you've been able to talk a child into something. And so we understand that there needs to be, though, in the heart of someone who has a desire to lead someone to Christ and show someone how to be saved, they should have a heart of compassion. In the book of Jude, in chapter 20, or verse number 22, it says, "And some having compassion, making a difference." And you and I should be people of passion, and we should have compassion for the lost. We should desire to be able to talk to people about their lost condition and desire to be able to express to them God's love for them. It should be something that drives us. We should look for opportunity. Did you hear me? You might want to write that down. You should look for opportunity to share the gospel with someone. You should. It should be our heart's desire that God would give us the privilege of being able to tell someone else about what He's done for us. It should be our heart's desire. And so we should look for that opportunity. We should not, all right, and I don't want this to be something that we're just going to, hey, man, I'm going to learn a method. I think it's important to learn methods. I think it's important to have, if you will, tools that you can use to be able to help people understand the Word of God and to be able to know the truth of the gospel. But it's not about just learning a trick and learning the Romans road, if you will. That's to be a tool to be able to get people to pray and to get people to recite a prayer. That's not what we're going for. As a child of God, we should be looking for an opportunity to share the truth of the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to do a work in someone's life. It should be our heart's desire that the Holy Spirit of God would use us in leading someone else to the Lord. Should be our heart's desire. And so we understand we are to be when we're talking about leading someone to the Lord, we're talking about a Spirit-led activity that God is in control of. So therefore, therefore, let me say this. One plan, one way of showing someone in the Scripture how they can be saved probably isn't going to be working for everybody. It's not going to be working for everybody. What I might talk to one person about and where I might go in the Word of God with one person might be different than where I would go with another person. It could be different because guess what? Everybody in this room is different. And everybody in this room has a different problem, a different burden, a different need. Maybe there's some stumbling block that's keeping one person from understanding the gospel, keeping one person from knowing the truth of the Word of God, that somebody else doesn't have a problem with. So if we try to treat every individual we talk to like a cookie cutter, and like they're the same as the person I just talked to at the last house, or they're, this friend is just like the other friend, or someone like something like that, then listen to me. We're going to find ourselves being frustrated, and also we're gonna show forth that we're just trying to get people to see things our way. Well, we're gonna come across more argumentative, especially to family and friends. I'm not talking about just going and knocking on talking door on someone's door. I'm talking about you talking to your grandparents, your mother, your father. When you just approach them as like, I'm just going to learn this method, and I'm just going to shove it down everybody's throat. Well, that's where we find we're going to turn more people off. Instead, you need to pray that you'll be led of the Spirit of God. And you're going to hide the Word of God in your heart so that you might be able to have a transference of that to someone else. Lord, would you help me to be a witness, a testimony to someone else? Because listen, when we are Spirit-led, we're allowing God to be in control. Now, here's the truth. You might have a loved one, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor that you really want to see saved. But I promise you this. There's that as much as you might want to see them saved, there is no possible way you want to see it happen more than God does. You understand that? There's no possible way you would want them to be saved more than our Heavenly Father does desire for them to be saved. So you need to be led of His Spirit in what you're doing. So let's start right here, and this kind of where the method we're going to use and what we're going to look at is more going to be geared toward you making a visit, either a cold call, all right, what we were doing last night on Tuesday evening. There's a group of us went out, made cold calls in our town, but also maybe just doing a follow-up visit with someone who's visited before us is generally what we're going to be talking about. But some of the principles are going to be in play no matter who you're visiting with, if your heart's desire is to get them around a spiritual conversation and get them around to talking about the gospel. And so if it doesn't necessarily apply to you witnessing to your friend or a cold call like that, listen, the principles are going to be somewhat the same. Number one, introducing yourself. We want to make sure that we're trying to talk to people in a personal manner. We want to let them know that we are interested in them. We're not just interested in numbers. We're not just interested in just biding our time. We're not out there trying to win our way to heaven. Right? We're not out there working our way to heaven. We're out there trying to introduce folks to a God that can that'll take them to heaven. And so we want to make this personal. We want to make sure that we have a right spirit and a right attitude. When we talk to anybody about the gospel, it shouldn't be, hey, you know what? I went to church. I'd like to, maybe you could come too. Maybe. Or, you know, God hasn't done anything good for me lately, but you still need Him. Come on, that's not the kind of attitude. If that's your attitude and that's your spirit, you need to get your attitude and your spirit corrected before you start telling people about the Lord. And before you try to start telling people how great God is and how they need salvation, it might be important that they see something in you. All right, that would cause them to go, wow, that I would really like to be have what they have. I'd like to be able to smile, yeah. Right? And when you knock on a door, a smile is a pretty good thing to have. Whether it be a cold call or whether it just be you're visiting someone who's visited the church, it might be good that you'd have a smile on your face when they come to door and introduce yourself. I usually introduce myself. Hi, I don't say Pastor Carter because that makes things even more difficult for people for me to introduce myself as a pastor. But I'll just say I'm Josh. And last night Olivia and I were partnered up, so I said I'm Josh, and this is my daughter Olivia. We're from Bellingham Baptist Church. And so that's just a way of introducing ourselves to be able to be able to try to get to know this individual a little bit, and I'll usually try to find out their name, and hopefully they have that if it's on their door. Some people have the home of the Smiths. All right, so hello, Mrs. Smith. Right, right there. We've already started to start establishing a personal connection in our introduction to one another, and I think it's important that we would keep in mind that we don't want that impression that we're going to leave on the door. 99% of the doors you're going to knock, you might not get past that introduction. All right. You might not be able to get past the "Hi, I'm Josh. This is my daughter Olivia. We're from Bellingham Baptist Church." And last night, you can ask Olivia. We had numerous people go, "I'm not interested. I'm busy." Okay, that's fine. But even in that simple 15-20 seconds of information, we want to make sure that our first impression is what? A good impression. A good impression. That they didn't open the door and go, "My goodness, I don't want anything to do with those people," because of the impression that we leave. So it's not a matter of just being fake or putting on a facade. We should genuinely care about our neighbor. Amen. We should. We should have a love for our neighbor, so that it shouldn't be hard for us, knowing what we're trying to share with them, knowing what we're trying to give to them, that we would have a smile on our face about it, that we would be upbeat about it, and that we would be coming across in a compassionate and in a caring way. So there are several times of soul-winning situations. And in this scenario, they give us five elements that should be a part of every soul-winning introduction. Number one, find out the prospect's name and use it. So if you're going, the name's on the door of a cold call, you say, "Hey, this is the Smith residence. Mr. Smith answers the door, or Mrs. Smith answers the door." And if it's their kids, we say, "Is mom or dad home?" Right? Amen. And then we have an opportunity to talk to Mr. or Mrs. Smith. If it's a visit we're making, we want to make sure we have their name, and that we know their name. And so when we're knocking on the door, we're not looking at a piece of paper and trying to find their name on a piece of paper, but we've already thought about who we're talking to and what we're there to talk to them about. And this is embarrassing. Make sure you know how to pronounce a name. Amen. There's been times where I've knocked on a door and I've said, "Is so and so here?" And nobody knows who that is because I didn't pronounce their name properly. And that's embarrassing. And so they go, "Oh, yeah, you care about me. You can't even pronounce my name properly." Amen. So we need to know that. So know the prospect's name and use it. Number two, communicate your name clearly as well as your partner's. We already said that. The use of personal names puts the visit on a personal level. Puts the visit on a personal level. Number three, state the name of the church clearly, Bellingham Baptist Church, and that some places will help them, and some people will help them to know that you're not a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon, but some people, if you knock on their door, you're Jehovah's Witness or Mormon no matter what you do. Number four, state the reason for your visit, why you're there, all right, why you're there. We're out in your neighborhood, and this is something I've really been working on. And I know a lot of people, they just standard, we're just out inviting people to church. We're inviting people to church. And while, yeah, we are doing that, if you're there to just invite people to church, that's fine. But if you're actually going soul winning, you should be able to share. Here, we're out talking about what God did for us. I'm out trying to share the gospel with folks tonight, and state why you're there. Don't give a false. If your goal is to get them into the Word of God and learning the gospel and hearing the gospel, state that. State that's what you're trying to do. Number five, ask the listener for a few moments of their time. And some people indicate to you, and I think you need to read body language. All right, read clues as people will come to the door and they're already closing it. They might have taken the pamphlet you gave them or the tract you gave them, and then they're already closing the door. Would be a great indicator that they probably don't want to talk. Read their body language and be perceptive to that. And don't stick your foot in the door. I was with somebody one time and he stuck his foot in the door. And that did not go well for us. All right, to stop the lady from shutting the door. And she almost called the police. And I think we just need to not be rude. The gospel's already a stumbling block to them who don't believe. We shouldn't be a further stumbling block. All right, so go ahead and read body language. Take clues. Sometimes I've walked away from doors and thought, man, did I read that person wrong or did I read them right? And maybe I could have continued talking or maybe I cut off too quickly. Man, just try to be a listener when you're at the door. Try to see what they're doing. And if they're waving goodbye already, then let it be goodbye. And just learn to do that. Then B, starting a conversation. You've introduced yourself. They know who you are. And this is a place where you need to learn to be a listener. Men, we need to learn to be listeners. Amen. I need to learn to be a better listener. And so every soul winner needs to genuinely be interested in people and their lives. You need to genuinely be interested in people and their lives. That's when, especially when you're dealing with family and you're dealing with friends and you're dealing with a neighbor that you're going to see every day on your way home from work, that it wouldn't be that the only conversation you ever have with them is how they're going to hell and they need Jesus and they got to come to church. All right? Make sure that they understand that you actually do care about them as an individual. It's not just about getting them to come to your church. Make sure that they understand that you're working on a relationship that with them that you desire and you're genuine about your interest in them. We should encourage someone to talk. Oh, do you go to church anywhere? It's a great question. Do you go to church anywhere? If you're talking to somebody who you don't know, or what's your church background? If it's a visit with someone who you've just become an acquaintance with, what's your church background? Or do you have or ask them a nature of that question? C would be continuing the conversation. All right. Starting a conversation. We're listening to them. I guess you could also say, how long have you lived here? And listen to them talk. Let them talk. If they don't want to talk, they'll indicate to you that they don't want to talk. All right. But if they're willing, this you getting a conversation started. And then C, continuing a conversation. Continuing a conversation. What spiritual things can you talk about? I kind of got ahead of myself in this, but what spiritual things could you talk about? All right? It could be that you could talk to somebody about how much you enjoy your church. You could talk to them about something you read from the Bible. Spiritual things. You could talk to them about your testimony, what God's done for you. But when we're trying to continue a conversation, we're trying to get on to spiritual things. All right. The purpose that we're there, we want to be kind. We want to converse. We're not in a hurry. But you say, well, we want to get all these tracts passed out. No, 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 we don't. We want to make a personal connection with some people. That's what we're going for. That they would see that we're out genuinely caring about people. We're not just trying to get cards passed out and get our quota in. It's not about that. It's about having a conversation. So we should desire to lead the conversation though towards spiritual things. I've talked to people about their flower beds for 15 to 20 minutes in order to get to the Bible. I have. I've talked to people about guns. We've talked to people about their occupation, what they do, in order to get the conversation turned around to something spiritual, either about church, about the Bible, about salvation. And so be careful that we don't try to move too fast. There was a gentleman, his name was Jake. He drove a truck in Mustang, Oklahoma, when we knocked on a door. And I went by his house two or three times and talked to him about trucking. Because he was a truck driver and he wanted to talk about trucking. And he finally, at the end of our third conversation, he said, well, I guess I'll be in church on Sunday. I guess I'll be in church on Sunday. And we really hadn't even got to, I just felt led of the Lord to continue going back to his house. He was a single man. He was in his mid-50s and just seemed like a lonely guy. And I just kept going back. And finally, it was our third conversation. He said he'd come to church. Ended up in that conversation that he was already saved. And he already knew Christ as a Savior. He had been out of church for years, just due to his occupation, keeping him on the road all the time. But now he had a new job where he was home in the evenings, and he wasn't driving across country anymore. And it just so happened that he wasn't looking for a church. But he said, if I was willing to come back three times just to talk to him about driving the truck, then he was going to come to church. And he came and joined the church and got involved in church. But I'm telling you, our desire might be that we're talking about trucking. It might be that we're talking about flower beds, but our desire is get to a spiritual conversation. To get to a spiritual conversation. When talking with family, that should be your desire as well. I can understand this, that sometimes family can be very rude. All right, I don't want to talk about that. I'm done talking about it. You've told me that already. All right, listen, if you already shared the gospel with them and they've shut that off, then listen, maybe you don't stop and go, okay, I'm going to try to get them down the Romans road again. Maybe your conversation needs to start just being about, man, the preaching at church. They don't necessarily care about the preaching at church, but they care about you. They care about you. And so, listen, people that care about you are going to listen to you, to what you have to say. And they're gonna at least fake to be interested in what you have to say. All right, and so you need to just stop being scared to try to turn the conversation over to spiritual things. Don't be scared to try to bring up what God's shown you in the Word of God. Man, I saw this in the Word of God. This is something the Lord taught me. This is something I've learned new. I mean, that should be where our goal to get our conversation around to. Many times, listen, we can get shut down one time with people, and we can get shut down one time, and then the conversation of the Bible or church or salvation, it never comes up again. And we need to be very careful about that. That if we know they're lost, we understand completely that they do not know Christ as their personal Savior. That it is our desire, our heart's desire, is that God would open a door that we might be able to get the conversation around to spiritual things. We're going to stop there this evening, and we'll pick up there next Wednesday night. Look at 2 Peter in chapter number 1. If you've been around here a long time, you know that the Lord used this passage of Scripture to help me understand my lost condition. And this is where the Lord brought me to help me realize my need for salvation. And so I will most often, when I'm sharing the gospel with somebody, at some point in time, we're going to find ourselves in 2 Peter in chapter number 1. And for time restraints, I'm not going to go through everything about it tonight. But most people you talk to, especially if you're talking to a stranger, but if somebody comes to the church, especially, we've had people walk in the church before. Just this last Sunday, or the Sunday before last, we had a man come in. I think it was just last Sunday. Man came into the church. He was there right at the end of the service and wanted to talk to the pastor. So I sit down with him, and he was crying and was having problems and had a need. And obviously, if someone's crying and they say they're in trouble, guess what? They are void of peace. They would not be crying and they would not be expressing that they have a need if they had peace. All right, and they don't have the answer they need for their life's problem. And so therefore, I when you deal with somebody like that, or when you see someone in that state of affairs, even if, especially if it's a family member that finally relates to you their problem, they're having a problem, maybe in their marriage, maybe it be in their finances, maybe it's a personal struggle they're having at work, and you can tell that their problem is they don't have peace. That's their problem. They have trouble dealing with circumstances because they lack peace. And so I'll go to 2 Peter in chapter 1. Look at it with me, and I'll just give a simple explanation of where we'll go. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'll ask somebody, so do you think this is talking about a saved person or a lost person? Thank you, Isaac. Is that right? He's talking to them that obtained like precious faith with us. He's talking to a saved person. He's talking to someone who knows Christ. And he says this, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, I know I've hit on this while I'm preaching, but let me just reiterate it again. Grace is something that the world can run out of. It does. In fact, a lot of the time, people talk about the world's grace, and we can say this. The world generally has three strikes, and then you're out. That's when the world's grace runs out. Someone goes before a judge, and that's going to be the rule. Listen, you've had this addiction that you can't control. It's your third strike. Now we're really going to penalize you. You've broken the law three times. Now you're going to really get hurt with penalties. And so why is that? Well, they had grace the first time. It was your first offense. The second time, you were reprimanded. The third time, you're not receiving reprimand. You're not receiving this. You're not changing. The reprimand was meant to curb your behavior. It hasn't done so, and now we're no longer going to have grace upon you. Well, guess what? That's not God. That is the world. That is not God. God is a God of all grace, and so here we see we can have grace and peace. Grace and peace. That would help me understand that I don't have to have fear. I don't have to have anxiety. I don't have to go through depression. I don't have to go through discouragement. I can have the peace of God. And that's the only place I can get peace is from God. And so grace and peace, I'm going to hurry a little bit. Grace and peace come through one thing, lots of money, lots of possessions, working 60, 70 hours a week. No, I'm telling you, this is what the world thinks, and this is where the world goes to, and this is where your coworker, your family member, this might be what they think. Well, peace is just having closeness with our family. Not true. The grace and peace come by what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Then look at verse number 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things. All things. Well, all things. What things? Well, all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's a lot of issues when you say, listen, we're going to talk about everything that pertains to life. Do you understand? We have a pretty lengthy list of things, don't we? We have a pretty least, but the Word of God isn't wrong here. He's given us all things that pertain to life. That means family. That means work. That means your neighbor. Listen, it can go on and on. It could be your stubbed toe. It could be your health. It could be literally anything that life throws at you. God says He's given us all things that pertain unto life. So every situation I face, God has an answer for. Everything that gets thrown at you, the job that you lost, the promotion that you missed, the bill that you weren't expecting. Understand with me, He has given us all things that pertain to life, all right, and godliness. So I have everything I need to live in this life, and I have everything to, and I'm able to have an understanding of everything that God expects of me as well. I have life and godliness. These are things I can have. But understand with me, you say, how do I get those things? How do I get all things that pertain to life and godliness? What's the Word of God say? Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Your family member relates to you, they have an issue, they have a problem. Well, guess what? God's Word's promised us He has the answer. You want an answer? Well, this is what it's going to take. It's going to take you growing in a knowledge of who He is. We're going to look at more this particular chapter a little more to next week. But I want us to look, and I know we if you've been around here, you know what these things are. But we're going to cover it a little more next week. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what good is that? Man, if I'm growing, I'm getting these things, and it's listed in verse 5 through 7, these things. He says, what good is that if I'm not barren in the knowledge of, unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and grace, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, verse number 2 and 3, we just looked at it. If I have a knowledge of Christ, I have grace and peace. If I have a knowledge of Christ, I have all things that pertain to life and godliness. So knowing Christ, listen to me, is very important. And someone's circumstances where they have no peace and they have no joy and they don't have any answers and they don't know what God wants from them and they don't know why God's treating them so unjustly. Listen to me, they're simply telling on themselves that they don't know Christ. They don't know Christ. Because when we grow in a knowledge of who Christ is, His Word promises us grace and peace and all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so this is, again, it's a passage of Scripture that I'll go to a lot of the time when I'm dealing with someone who is having a struggle with peace and having a struggle with grace and having a question about life. This is almost where I'll go to almost every time. And you can go from here and get to a lot of different places in the Word of God to help them understand their need of salvation. And everything, these things, we know this if you've been around here long enough. These things, everything that goes along with them, it starts with faith. Starts with faith. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight.